As we continue on in the book of Hebrews, open your Bibles there to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 is very interesting because as it leads up into chapter 11, we'll see why the Lord selected particular stewards in certain weeks there, okay, and how God identified His government. Okay, and that through this point of identification, the false religious system has misunderstood the purpose of stewardship, but rather identifying with stewardship, they try to create their own stewardship by imitating biblical characters. And because they're trying to imitate biblical characters by event theology, they have fell into a lot of confusion because they feel that God would communicate to them on the same level that He communicated to this chief steward. With that grace, and of course God will not do that. Okay, but the examples have to do, as we get to up to, as we're working up to chapter 11 here, but the examples have to do, in regarding our confidence, within that stewardship, the sign and the token which God put within these things. Okay, now He sealed a sign and a token not only within the stewardship, but that that particular multiplication process would be carried forth in all those that believe. And the multiplication process has to do with as we all partake of that grace. As the Apostle Paul brings out in Philippians, for you are all partakers of my grace. Alright, so we should be there now, Hebrews chapter 10. We'll start around verse 27. Verse 26. Now for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. So, highlight the word truth there. You get your highlighter and highlight the word truth here in verse 26. Then, highlight the word sacrifice for sins. Okay, well, what is a sacrifice that they're offering that is not accepted? Okay, well, the knowledge which they're offering is not founded upon that foundation and stewardship, which God has sanctified. Okay, now the word sin willfully has to do with walking indifferent or as to despise. Okay, when we read on, we'll see this. Okay, now the word despise has to do with as to hold at a distance with great abhorrence. Okay, now we can see that this is what the false religious system did, in regarding Cain's perspective of Abel, or regarding Balaam's perspective of Moses, or Korah's perspective of Moses, or Esau's perspective of Jacob. Okay, how God has selected a particular steward, and yet those which are of the same family, as Cain and Abel were the same family, and as Esau and Jacob were the same family, and even as Korah and Moses was the same family. And regarding Levi, and regarding the children of or the patriarchs, the sons of Jacob, there was certain dissension that arose, and regarding certain standards of accountability, and people feeling that they possessed certain criteria, or intelligence or skills, which they felt superseded that of God's selection. Okay, so we can see, as we observe these scriptures, we can see why the opposers, of the stewardship, why they felt the way they did, and why they also incurred God's judgment. So the word sin willfully has to do with a disdaining disapproval, of that which God appointed. Now we can see that disdaining disapproval. In verse 25, forsaking the assembling. Not seeing the value, of the assembly, because the purpose of assembly is to build. It's like workers gathering together at the time of harvest, or workers gathering together in order to construct the building. By gathering together, they receive their orders and they all contribute their particular skills, to achieve one goal. And that's what we're doing. As we continue to provoke unto love and good works, we are gathering together for the harvest, even in these last days. Okay, that the Spirit of the Lord is bringing separation. Okay, the angels of the Lord have received their orders, and they're bringing separation between the tares and the wheat, even at this present time. Okay, that God is making selection between those that embrace Him and those that abhor Him. So God has always made selection for the purpose of testing the heart. Okay. But our gathering together is for the purpose of provoking into love and good works, okay, that we are assembling to build. Okay. And as we build, we're exhorting one another. And we're exhorting one another by that foundation of truth which is set within the heart. Okay. Even as those under Moses, okay, they constructed a tabernacle under his oversight. Okay. After he received the pattern by the Spirit, okay, they reciprocated. Okay, they reciprocated, they contributed, okay, and the process, okay, was continually going forward. They were proceeding forward, okay, and regarding God's timetable, and that's what we're doing. We're proceeding forward in God's timetable. Even as every saint contributes according to the measure of grace which is given to them, okay, and as they continue to dine on the grace of God, okay, then it begins to be pressed together, shaken, okay, and running over, okay, just as Jesus said in Luke. So the exhorting has to do with that foundation of truth. But now, if the individual is severed from the vine, then they're severed from the truth. If they're severed from the truth, it's because they're denying the stewardship. If they're denying the stewardship, okay, then they're doing that which is despite unto the Spirit of grace. And we'll be reading about that around verse 29. So with your highlighter, highlight the word truth there in verse 26. Okay, in verse 26 there. Okay, having received the knowledge of the truth, okay, which is necessary for the purpose of building, okay, to provoke unto love. Okay, but now, if there's no tethering, okay, if there's no joining, then it's as the fruit that falls from the tree. When the fruit falls from the tree in the ground, it begins to rot. Okay, but the tethering is according to grace and truth. All right, well, let's go on here. Now, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. In verse 27, but a certain fearful looking, for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Okay, no more sacrifice for sins. What do you have to offer? Okay, you have nothing to offer before God if you have severed the tether or broken the bone. Okay, breaking the bone is not identifying with the stewardship. By not identifying with the stewardship, okay, you are you're trying to stand on a broken leg. So you're not walking uprightly any longer, you're crawling along the ground. Okay, so another way to say this in verse 26 and 27, concerning a certain fearful looking for judgment. Another way to say that is that having no more sacrifice for their sins because the absence of truth, if truth is within the heart, then charity is within the lips. But in the absence of truth, in the absence of grace and truth, there is no more sacrifice to offer. So the soul remains in a state now of contamination and corruption. Without the stewardship for doctrine, there is no knowledge to reciprocate for holiness. And we'll read on that as concerning holiness. Okay, they count the things of the covenant as an unholy thing. Okay, and an unholy thing, again, we're talking about concerning stewardship and your priesthood. Okay, without the stewardship, okay, the priesthood will fall into decay, but without the priesthood, okay, then there's no building but the stewardship. So God again has assigned a certain and fearful looking judgment for the despisers of Him, which is equal to the offense of their displeasure and contempt for His grace. Okay, for God's enemies now, for His enemies shall be tormented with fire, burning fire, leaving no rest for their souls. Okay, I just said it a different way, but I'm saying the same thing as the Apostle Paul wrote here. So, what was in the mind of Paul when he was writing this? Okay, in regarding his position of stewardship. And he enumerates these things in Hebrews chapter 11, why stewardship is so important. and why God has selected this time to introduce this gift back into the body of Christ for the purpose of bringing this division. A division and a building, a dissolution and a renewal. A testing of the heart. Okay, so I'll read verse 27 again in the text right here, then I'll read my note there. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which should devour the adversaries. Verse 28. Now he that despised Moses' law. You see the word despise there? Okay. Despise again has they resisted grace, the grace of the stewardship and the record, okay, which was assigned to that stewardship. Now, if you resist the record and the stewardship, then you're going to be considered or severed for group judgment, group death. Okay, as we see in the group death there of Korah and Dathan and Abiram and Anan. Okay, God separated them to a group destruction. Okay, as we see today, we see group destructions. Okay, and regarding how God is judging this world. Okay, through flood, through famine, through disease, through earthquake, okay, by fire. Okay, and hurricane and tsunamis, okay? These are group judgments, okay, which God has selected for those which are in despising his grace. Though they may be good tithers, okay, and though they may be good people in regarding their social life, okay, yet despising the covenant of God groups them, okay, in the area of those which despise Moses' law or those which despise government. Now he despised Moses' law, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Okay, even after two or three warnings, after two or three warnings given to them, okay, and God continually issued warnings, all right, through the steward of those which want to stand against the stewardship. Okay, and they want to, as Korah, okay, Korah felt that his qualifications superseded that of Moses' calling. Okay, now that was a serious mistake on Korah's part. Because even though he had singular intelligence, as Korah, now Korah had singular intelligence, okay, and with the singular intelligence, he used that, which had to do with the state of his own signature, he used the state of his own signature and the singular intelligence in order to compete with government. Okay, so that is those which despise Moses and that law. So God has assigned them a certain fearful looking for of judgment. He wish to devour the adversaries. Now in verse 29, he goes on right here. How much sore punishment suppose you? Now Paul's bringing us right down to the modern time. Okay, writing these things, he was bringing these things, reminding the church, okay, of the conflicts and the contradiction that arose with the stewardship. Okay, Jesus' selection of his apostles was with great intent and with great care. Because after he prayed, then he called forth his apostles, numbering the 12. Okay, and choosing Peter, okay, as that rock or cornerstone, the chief apostle, for the other apostles to work with. So Jesus took care, okay, in grooming Peter, okay, as God set the scenarios for this grooming, okay, which has to do with reproof and rebuke, okay, and exhorting. And that's exactly what Jesus did with Peter. Okay, it's concerning exhorting, okay, and reproof, okay, and rebuke. Okay, we read that these accounts in the Gospels. Okay, so as Peter was being groomed by Jesus, okay, Peter was not being groomed by the Pharisees. He was being groomed by Jesus, and his preparation did not have good standing, okay, with the religious elite of his time, because they looked at Peter with disdain. Okay, disdain and despite. How can you, who a fisherman, feel that you qualify, okay, to the level of our intelligence of the Torah? Okay, and we can see, okay, that the religious elite of the false religious system continually want to set standards and challenges. Okay, to the point of trying to shame the disciples of Jesus or Jesus' students, they are trying to shame his students and scorn Jesus, saying, "We brought unto your disciples this man possessed with the devil. They couldn't cast him out." In other words, such a paradox exists, Jesus, because here You told your apostles, go out and cast out devils, so your word has no power to it. Okay, and the disciples also were a little baffled, okay, in regarding this challenge, because the Pharisees were challenging the disciples, okay, on grounds of something that the disciples at that time did not understand. This is part of Jesus' grooming them. Okay, and Jesus was grooming them to work with the Spirit. Okay, that you cannot patternize the gifts. You have to work with the Spirit. Okay, there are no secret formulas, okay, other than your prayer life and your consistency, okay, with the tools of the covenant. Okay, your prayer life and your consistency with the tools of the covenant, okay, will prepare you and keep you in a state of, okay, preparation as a good soldier. Okay, a soldier is continually groomed for war, okay, and we are continually groomed for contradiction to stand against it. Okay, and the Lord brings you through these cycles of growth, and through each cycle of growth, which we'll read about, okay, your perception becomes more clear. Okay, as the circumcision of truth continually removes those things that offend God, okay, and sets you in a new perception of life. Okay, so that your new perception of life, okay, then focuses on the cares of the things of God's kingdom. Okay, and working with those things, grace and truth. So now he despised Moses' law, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. This is verse 28. Okay, under two or three witnesses, how much sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God? Now, why would he put the word trodden underfoot Son of God? It wasn't as if these people that were believers, okay, were physically kicking at Jesus. Okay, what he was talking about right here is that these believers, okay, having received the testimony of Christ, did not continue to be steadfast. And they were distracted with carnal things. Okay, they were trying to build a relationship with God through tithing, or through circumcision, okay, or through baptisms, okay, or by observing the Sabbath day, okay, or Jewish festivities, and also fables. Okay, fables emerge from those things. Fables emerge from carnal things. Okay, now, so they trod underfoot the Son of God. How did he do that? Replacing the covenant of Jesus Christ with carnal things, as a doctrine of Nicolaitans. Okay, we can see here, okay, he despised Moses' law. We see also the doctrine of Balaam coming forth. Okay, Balaam wanted to remain independent of his own ministry. Okay, Balaam felt qualified to function as a prophet. Okay, but functioning as a prophet was independent of the covenant. Okay, so even though God revealed things to this man, Balaam, okay, yet he was considered as an adversary. And he was considered as an adversary to the covenant of Moses. That's the difference between building on gifts and building with a stewardship. When you build on the gifts of the Spirit, okay, you're trying to create, okay, formulas, okay, that you can master, okay, for your own independence and your own aspiration. This is what the church has fallen into, okay, many, many times, over and over and over again, mostly through the so-called big ministries. Okay, these big ministries, okay, you know, your televangelists, okay, and those which are holding these open-air meetings, okay, they're preaching to people, okay, certain formulas and event theology, which are all fables. Okay, they're teaching them these things so that people pattern themselves after a gift, rather than after the record and stewardship of God's choosing. And when you pattern yourself after a gift, and you're looking for the seven steps to prosperity, okay, and you're looking for the certain keys of how to receive your healing and deliverance, okay, well, that's all in your priesthood. See, God has nicely packaged that for you. All you have to do is function in your priesthood, and at this time of God's selection, you receive your joy. Okay, but you must remain consistent. Okay, and accept the yoke which God has assigned to you at this present time. Okay, not to project for the future and the outcome, but rather to work at this present time. That is what the Spirit is giving you. Okay, because the people that project for the future will fall into many pits. Okay, they'll fall into the pits of despair and confusion. And then they become, very conflictive against God and murmur and complain. Okay, this is what Satan wants. See, Satan wants to put the church into a state of confusion, all right, and give them and make them contempt against God. Okay, like contempt of court. Okay, God has set a particular rule down in regarding the policies of his kingdom. Okay, and the false religious system continually walks in contradiction to that. They are in contempt of court. Okay, they want to approach God on the grounds of their aspirations. So therefore, they're always trying to arrange, okay, see, the defiled conscience, okay, into a state of approval. Well, the defiled conscience will never come into a state of approval, okay, because no matter what they associate with for their cleansing, okay, it will never happen because Jesus Christ has already done that. Now, that's what it means to trod underfoot the Son of God. Okay, they're not standing in the conscience of Christ, okay, which is a good conscience, that which is of faith. Okay, but they're standing in that of the defiled conscience and an evil conscience. Okay, their perspective of God is to wrestle God into a position of bargaining. And Satan keeps the soul, okay, of the sinner on a journey of fulfillment. Okay, as concerning projecting, they're trying to project the outcome. And they feel that if they can project the outcome and stand to the standard of that projection, then they feel that they have achieved righteousness, okay, which is a false righteousness. Because they're not building. There's no contribution. Okay, we see that in verse 22. Okay, their hearts are not sprinkled from an evil conscience. Okay, and their hearts not being sprinkled from an evil conscience continually contend with God. Because they're not drinking of the pure water. Okay, they're drinking of Satan's promises. Satan makes a promise just like God makes promises. But God's promises are joined to the covenant. Okay, and your endurance of long-suffering, faith and patience, okay, with the terms of the covenant. Satan's promises have to do with certain acts of contrition. Here, you partake of this right here, and then you'll enter into your glory. And that's what Satan told Adam, and that's what Satan told Jesus to do. Okay, satisfy yourself, turn these stones into bread. Or let's make it even simple. You don't have to create stones into bread. Here, why don't you just fall off this building right here? Okay, and by falling off this building, you're putting to proof God's love for you. Okay, that you are truly a servant of God. Now that's exactly what Satan's not only was Satan's mindset, but that's the mindset of his children. The mindset of Satan's children follow that same rhythm of challenge. Okay, they'll challenge the stewardship and they challenge the truth. Okay, just like Satan did in the Garden of Eden. He challenged God's stewardship and he challenged God's truth. Okay, in order to get Adam to see from his perspective. Well, now Adam, looking from Satan's perspective, then became defiled. Okay, and in that state of mind, transgressed against God, and removing the light from him. So those which trod underfoot the Son of God, they are those which are trying to, again, stand in Moses' shadow. Okay, they're trying to gain God's approval, okay, and they're wrestling with a motive of their own conscience. Okay, their defiled conscience, they're wrestling with a motive. It's the same thing that people do when they take communion, physical communion. When they take physical communion, okay, the shepherd or the pastor of the church, all right, charges the people that they must have a good conscience toward God. Okay, in other words, wrestle your conscience into a state of humility and forgive your brother. It has nothing to do with their priesthood at all. Okay, it's just wrestling the state of the conscience. For your approval. In other words, you're approving your own righteousness. Okay, but God only approves of faith. He only approves of Jesus Christ. He doesn't approve of your conscience. If he approved of your conscience, then why would he provide Christ for this? Okay, so let's go on again here. In verse 29, now you can understand why the Lord is at this time severing, bringing division, the hour of temptation upon the church. Binding the tares to burn them, as he brings out there concerning a fiery indignation. These would be the first to go. Okay, and regarding after the rapture of the church, okay, as God consents for the opening of the great tribulation period, okay, as the tribulation unfolds in the beginning of it, it will be those that despise his grace. All right, and done despite in the spirit of grace. They will be the first to go. Okay, verse 29. How much sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy? Okay, and regarding his qualifications, okay, of resistance. Okay, as Korah. Now, God gave us many examples in the Old Testament And he also gave us examples like Ananias and Sapphira. Okay, Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts. Okay, who, in resistance to the grace of God, okay, they set a challenge, okay, of their, for their own approval to receive the honor of man. Okay, so instead of contributing to building the house of God, okay, they were going to take their own shortcuts, okay, and set a challenge to the stewardship. Of course, Peter being the chief steward there. So how much sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant? Okay, so highlight the word covenant there in verse 29. Okay, and highlighting the word covenant right there, we know that it has to do with his truth. Okay, facts which are consistent with his character, purpose, and plan. Okay, which facts which are consistent with his character, purpose, and plan. Okay, are manifested in the man. Okay, the man, what he says and what he does. Okay, which is Christ. Okay, now if you can understand these things, then you behold the face of the Lord. Okay, but not understanding these things, you only behold the face of man. Okay, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant, highlight the word covenant there, verse 29, wherewith he was sanctified, so there's the word sanctified, and the word also holy or unholy. Okay, a separation has to take place, and also something has to be provided for, or a provision has to be provided for you to embrace for your holiness. So they counted the things, the terms of this covenant as they unqualified. Okay, now, they did this for the purpose of establishing themselves. You notice that those which are in a false religious system, they want to step forward, okay, and regarding their knowledge and their stewardship. Okay, just like Korah did. Okay, Korah thought his qualifications were superior to Moses, and probably they were. But Korah was not called to fulfill Moses' position. God selected Moses. God did not select Korah. Okay, so Korah, okay, thought that he brought about a severing. Okay, his severing had to do with the counsel of the ungodly. Okay, even David understood that. Okay, we see that in Psalms 1. Okay, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, who is the counsel of the ungodly? The false stewardship. Okay, and David says those which fall under the counsel of the ungodly are those which are listening to the wrong steward. Okay, the self-appointed shepherds. As we can see, as was prophesied, okay, also in the book of Isaiah, and regarding these end times, that many people will appoint themselves as shepherds, okay, and there will be a great conflict between the shepherds and stewardship, particularly in these last days. Okay, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and back in verse 29, and has counted the blood of the covenant, okay, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite in the spirit of grace. So also highlight the word despite there. Okay, so the word despite also has to do as to look down on and to belittle. Okay, so this person right here, okay, who at one point was a believer, okay, now came forth as a rival, like Diotrephes, or like Demas, or like Hymenaeus, or like Alexander, okay, or Demetrius, the other Demetrius. Okay, not the one that was working with John, but the one who was despising Paul. Okay, there was a competition between Demetrius's craftsmanship and against Paul's gospel. Okay, and his stewardship. Okay, so here we can see the word sanctified. So highlight the word sanctified and underline the word unholy. Okay, the stewardship and the tools. Okay, which the tools, which of course you're engaging, okay, in your relationship with God, with your priesthood. Wherewith he was sanctified, okay, by the blood of the Lamb and this covenant, okay, he counted these things as unholy, okay, and has done despite the Spirit of grace. So he looked down upon stewardship with contempt, okay, and his acts belittled God's mercy, and by his defiance, also the government of God. So we see a definition within that as to look down, contempt, belittle, and defiance. Okay, not understanding the purpose of speaking in tongues. Those in a false religious system will read the scriptures where tongues is spoken of there in Corinthians there. They will look upon it with contempt. Okay, they will despise it. Okay, because they feel that their form of Christianity has no need of tongues, and they're right. They don't need tongues in their form of Christianity, but they're in the wrong house. Okay, right, because they have already constructed, you see, their own forms of righteousness. Okay, they already constructed their own forms of sanctification. Okay, they already constructed their own forms of holiness. So what was it? Why would they need stewardship or the tools of the covenant? They don't. Okay, those are the ones which will not come into covenant with God. These are the unconverted believers. They believe in the Lord, but they're not converted yet. Okay, they have reduced, okay, the covenant down to earthly things. Okay, earthly things. Things that will sympathize with their aspiration and flow with their own signature, their own skills. Okay, their musical talents, okay, or their their social talents. They things that will flow in rhythm with them. Okay, they will find more pleasing. So they're despising the grace of God. Okay, unholy thing, and has done despite unto the spirit of grace. Now we'll see what happens here. Look at verse 30. For we know him, that God has already announced this, as Moses forewarned them numerous times, not to stand against God. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And that the reason why the Apostle Paul is writing this is that we don't take in hand, okay, our own take things into our own hands to try to rectify, okay, by our own imagination. Try to bring things into rhythm with ourselves. God says, let me do that. Okay, you remain in rhythm with me, okay, and I will take care of those things which are in conflict with you. So if we know him that has said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. Now we see the word recompense, okay, which goes right here in concerning a fiery judgment. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. So highlight the word judge there, verse 30. Okay, the Lord shall judge his people, as the Spirit will set the scenarios for the circumcision. Okay, God is judging us every day in regarding a circumcision. Okay, but God is not judging us in regarding, okay, his wrath. He's judging us in regarding his mercy, which has to do with the cycles of your growth. Okay, so that as you endure, as you continually show forth your continuance and consistencies, okay, in your priesthood, the Lord rewards you and your joy will be full. Now look at verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. That is, in a state of malice, it is a fearful thing. Okay, to fall in the hands of the living God is regarding the judgments that God has set to those that despise him. So highlight the word fearful in verse 31. Draw a line from the word verse 31, fearful, to the word done despite in verse 29. Okay, so it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, being in a state of malice, is. But call to remembrance, Paul says. Now here the Apostle Paul is giving us some insight in regarding the gospel which he preached. Okay, now the gospel which Paul preached, okay, is very different from that which the false religious system is preaching today. Because the false religious system is preaching, see, the psychology of the conscience, okay, and also they're trying to bring resolve of the conflict of the motives in the conscience, okay, which is not the gospel which Paul preached. But they're using modern day psychology, and they're mixing it, okay, with the gospel. And they're trying to call their modern-day psychology the work of Christ, but it's not. That's why they have to write these numerous books, okay, in order to try to give their carnal knowledge a spiritual makeover. Okay, but it's like just putting lipstick on a demon. Okay, putting lipstick on a demon doesn't change the nature of the demon. Okay, it just beautifies that which is evil, and they're trying to beautify, okay, their evil conscience. Okay, now verse 31 is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Okay, but call to remembrance the former days. And now here we're going to see an interesting word called illuminated. Okay, when the grace of God dawned on you. Okay, and when awakened within you, okay, the state of the conscience and the history of God, it began to awaken it. Okay, and as it awakened, it began to sprout. Okay, it began to it broke forth from the soil, Okay, like Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, when Jesus rose from the dead, the stone that was upon the cave was rolled away. Okay, and also, okay, as the grace of God awakens that seed within you, okay, there's a clarity, there's a stretching forth. Okay, as like the seed that's sprouting through the soil, it's seeking the sunlight, okay, to receive its nourishment. Okay, so there's the word illuminated right there. Okay, you're setting aside that which concealed you from the sky, from the sun, okay, because you smelled the grace of God. As a seed receives, and when a seed has the scent of water, it responds to that scent. Okay, and those that smell the grace of God and respond likewise. Okay, but it doesn't end there. Now you grow in the light of the knowledge of God. Okay, as a seed continues to mature. Okay, from the presence of the sun and, of course, with the water. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you're illuminated. So I like the word illuminated there in verse 32. Okay, which has to do with the form of enlightenment, which he talked about there in chapter 6. Having been enlightened, chapter 6, verse 4. Okay, you didn't remain in that state. Okay, you didn't remain in a state after the water was poured on you. Okay, then suddenly you withered up and dried. And that's the parable that Jesus gave to those that fell by the wayside. Those that fell by the wayside, those that fell on the rocky soil, okay, and those that fell among thorns. Okay, they did not continue in the grace of God. Okay, but they were illuminated. Okay, they responded. Okay, but then gaining root, okay, in the knowledge of God, instead of showing forth continuance, they began to wither away. Or they were choked with the cares of this life. Okay, the cares of this life has to do with the distractions of Adam. Okay, the distractions of Adam have to do with the things of the pleasures of this world. And of course, that's what Jesus talked about. Okay, not to allow those things to dictate to you, okay, concerning the realities of life. The pleasures of this world is not the realities of life. It relieves the body, okay, or the redirects the afflictions of time which are upon the body, okay, which is, that's what pleasure does. It just relieves the afflictions of time, okay, but it doesn't give any substance in the soul, okay, and a person cannot remain in that state and grow. Okay, you have to be crucified with Christ, okay, and this is what your cycles of growth will do, okay, as you continue to get closer to the light, okay, the things of this world become strangely dim. It becomes dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, the darkness. Okay, the distinction between light and darkness becomes, you see, even greater. Okay, it's not just like a little crack in a sidewalk. It becomes wider than the Grand Canyon. Okay, your forms of discernment become more broader, okay, and deeper. Okay, that you're able to see the kingdom, okay, the kingdoms which are manifesting themselves. Just like Jesus did. Okay, Jesus knew the kingdom of Satan that was influencing Peter's prejudice and regarding the things which he thought, okay, would fall into, you see, in Jesus' favor. But that's why Jesus rebuked him. Get thee behind me, Satan. He said to Peter, because you save not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Okay, you have Satan's perspective has overshadowed you. And you're standing as a barrier between me and my mission, okay, and regarding building my kingdom. So how can I birth sons and daughters, okay, of my kingdom, okay, if you stand in the way, okay, if I just favor the things of this world, if I just try to bid my time, okay, and favor the pleasures of this world. All right, so the word illuminated, everybody should have that highlighted by now. Now, after the word of the word illumination, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Okay, contradiction. Word contradictions. Now, you see that also in chapter 12, on chapter 12, verse 4. Okay, you have not, or the word verse, and word contradiction is verse 3, but verse 4 explains it. You have not yet resisted the blood striving against sin. Okay, that has to do with your own crucifixion. Okay, Jesus has provided the pattern for our deliverance. Okay, all we have to do is walk in cadence with him. See, so the word afflictions right there The word afflictions has to do with a contradiction, something that's standing as a barrier between you and your peace. Okay, now the world has learned to compromise, okay, that a particular affliction. So instead of building the kingdom of God, they try to build barriers, okay, to protect themselves against things that would afflict them, okay, from fulfilling their signature. Okay, and by doing that, they continually put themselves, okay, deeper in Satan's shadow, to where that which is evil looks good, and that which is good looks evil to those which are in Satan's shadow. Okay, everything takes a reverse definition. In a society that is in great darkness and steeped in idolatry, now idolatry again has to do with Satan's perception. Okay, it's, people live by inclination rather than by truth. Okay, and the laws of each civilization or each community, okay, reflect the inclinations of the people. The laws reflect the inclinations of that they're trying to better themselves, okay, by issuing forth these things. Okay, and anyone that would stand against those things is called a criminal. Okay, well, God also calls the sinners criminals. Okay, because they're standing against this kingdom, okay, by taking or trying to enforce Satan's laws in God's kingdom. Satan's laws do not apply to Satan or to God's kingdom, they only apply to Satan's kingdom. Okay, and his laws has to do with whatever inclination that you want to embrace, Satan will consent to your building with it. Okay, he'll consent for you to build with it for the purpose of keeping you from being established in the kingdom of God. Okay, so in verse 33, okay, we see also, as we see in verse 32, the word affliction, and he says, partly whilst you'll be made a gazing stock. Okay, the choices that you made because of the illumination, the awakening of the history of God within you, put you on a different path which is contrary to that of the world. The world can't understand, okay, why you don't rejoice, okay, when the things that they rejoice. Okay, that they rejoice, okay, and regarding people perfecting their signature for the pleasure of others. Okay, now the world will rejoice in that shadow. Okay, when a person comes in their own name, okay, in other words, whatever signature that they have, okay, if the signature which they have complements, okay, society, okay, and works and flows with community interest, okay, makes people happy, okay, they will confirm that and honor that, and that's Satan's kingdom. Okay, this is what Satan was promising Jesus: if you will worship me, okay, I will put everyone within rhythm of your aspiration. And they will love you and honor you and respect you and say how good of a person you were. So that upon your passing from this dimension, even though your soul is empty, but even from the passing of this dimension, people will speak well of you. They'll set up memorials in honor of you. Okay, this is what Satan was promising Jesus. Okay, and if you walk in rhythm with me, I will walk in rhythm with you. Okay, I can persuade the minds of these people to love you. Okay, like a rock star. Okay, Satan moves through those passions, okay, because it's in rhythm with the feelings of pleasure. Okay, so Satan works through those passions, as he also entered into Genon. Okay, when Genon was a child, okay, as you can read about these things in the books of Adam and Eve. Okay, Genon as a child, Satan entered into him. And Genon, with the signature now, Satan knows the signatures which are granted to children before they're even born. Okay, he knows the signatures that have been put within them. And Satan, that's why certain spirits, now Satan takes ownership of each vessel of flesh. He takes ownership, okay, claiming it for himself, okay, as it's been christened to his kingdom. He takes ownership of that signature, that he says, this child is for me. Okay, I take ownership of this signature, and I will use it for my honor and glory to keep the people, the minds of the people, blind towards God. That people will honor people and not honor the covenant. Okay, so we are a gazing stock because we no longer are walking in cadence with that which the world honors. Okay, for self-improvement. Okay, the betterment of humanity. Okay, for global warming, you know, we don't stand, okay, within the same perception as they do, because everything that man endeavors to You can say to correct. Okay, man will correct man. Okay, in order to achieve his goal, because every god wants everything to orbit according to their own oath. That's why every nation, okay, has every nation under you see different presidents, okay, or different mayors or kings. Okay, we use the word kings there. Okay, every kingdom, okay, orbits under, around the oath of that king. Okay, and that king will make laws, okay, which will favor, say his kingdom, and okay, which he wants his whole community to flow with. Then we see that that Pharaoh's community flowed with his interests and persecuted the Jews. Okay, and that Solomon's community flowed with his interest, which was in covenant. Okay, and there was peace throughout the land. Now the world wants peace, but they want it according to the flow of their inclination. Okay, they want everything to flow in them with their own oath, because they're gods. Okay, and every individual knows they possess certain potential. Okay, and Satan takes advantage of their ignorance to say that that potential is their signature, but their potential is in covenant. It's not the signature of man, it's in the covenant. And every individual born in this world, okay, is aware, okay, of certain potential. Okay, whether it be a criminal element, okay, or whether it be something of more of a social, something that will be constructive for society. Okay, God has appointed both of them. Okay, and you can read about that in the book of Isaiah. Okay, how the Lord appoints both. Okay, the good and the craftsmanship, and community good and the criminal. Okay, in order to keep things in upset and in equity, so that people would seek unto the Lord. Okay, in covenant. All right, well, let's go on here. Okay, as we go on here, we're on verse 32 here. I read that again. But call to remembrance. So the things which I preach to you, Paul said, I want you to reflect upon these things. Okay, even the purpose of the assembly is to continue to exhort and keep each one of us in mind of our responsibility to God's kingdom. But call to remembrance the former days, that is, after you were illuminated. You endured a great fight of afflictions. Now, of course, now, if they chose to remain in Satan's rhythm, okay, there would be no affliction. Okay, but if they choose to stand against Satan's kingdom, okay, then there will be affliction. There'll be because they're standing contrary to Satan's wishes. Okay, and you endured a great fight of afflictions. Okay, and of course, that is as God circumcised the soul with truth, okay, removing those things which are not useful. Okay, to his kingdom. Partly whilst you're made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. You can highlight these words right here. Reproaches and afflictions. Okay, reflections as to the troubling of the soul, the tidings of the wicked. Okay, you see it every day when you watch the news on television. Okay, every day you hear the report, okay, of Adam's perception. The kingdom of darkness, okay, is continually announcing, okay, the discrepancies and the inequities of Adam. Okay, and then they also try to bring resolve to these things. Okay, they try to bring resolve through, okay, whether it be through one form or another, to try to bring resolve. Now, in the book of Revelation, we can see that every judgment of God is against man's resolve. Okay, the opening of the trumpets, the opening of the vials, okay, the opening of the seals. Okay, in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, chapter 8, 9, and 16. Okay, we can see that every judgment which God initiates, okay, is in direct contradiction of man's resolve. Okay, because Adam is trying to continually bring comfort so that he continues to progress, okay, for the honor of his own signature. Okay, that Adam is going to utilize his signature and skills. Okay, that Adam feels that within himself, okay, the sinner feels within himself that they can resolve these things by promise. You know, God says you can't resolve them by promise. I gave you covenant. I will resolve your affliction. Okay, but you must come in covenant with me. You must come on my terms. You were created for me. You are not created for the purpose of being severed from me or being independent of me. Okay, that is Satan's mindset. Satan's mindset, because Satan in this dimension is trying to continue to initiate a kingdom independent and untethered from God. This is what the sinner thinks. Psalms chapter 2 talks about that. Let us cast away their cords from us. Okay, in other words, they don't want to be bound to the covenant of God. They want to be free to pursue their aspiration without any kind of responsibility to it or judgment from God. It's not going to happen. If you're severed from the kingdom of God, you are going to be judged with fiery indignation, which is equal to the offense. Now, partly whiles you made gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whiles you became companions in them, so you. So, which means your fellowship was now with those of covenant. Your fellowship was no more with righteous men, who riot in the daytime, which means they preach in defiance of covenant and government. When they stand against the stewardship, they're standing against covenant, and when they stand against your priesthood, they're also in defiance of the covenant of God, because they're belittling it, not understanding its value. They belittle it. Now look at verse 34. In verse 34, for you had compassion of me in my bonds. And this is Paul saying right here in verse 34. Now we can read this in the book of Acts, and regarding the things which Paul faced, of course, was prophesied to him by God, that God would use the severity of affliction on Paul for the purpose of showing how he sustains us through grace. Now Paul was the Lord was not using Paul for our record. He was using Paul concerning an example and a token of his grace, how God's grace is superior. So if you had compassion on me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, the plundering of those things. That at one time, you used the things of this world as tokens of your honor, instead of using the things of God for tokens of honor. The tokens of our honor have to do with those things which the Spirit gives us, grace, the graces of God, right? Gifts, calling, grace of God, prayer, preaching, prophecy, government, truth, and Spirit. These are tokens of God's honor. The world cannot plunder those from you. Even though Satan tries to plunder through discouragement, and misdirection and pleasure, as we see what Jesus spoke about, as concerning the choking of the thorns, remember the choking of the thorns. The thorns have to do with the knowledge of this world is as thorns, and those that bear the knowledge of this world are as thorns to God, which means cannot be handled or touched. We're only to touch those things which bring healing to the soul. We're not to touch those things which bring which tear the soul. And false knowledge tears the soul. It rends it, it bruises it, it devalues it, it mars its image. It mars the image of God. That's what false knowledge does. But the things of God's kingdom, gives health to the soul. Brings healing. He's a chief shepherd of our soul, because he brings healing to us. He brings us to green pastures, not the famished land. So let's go on verse 30. All right, I'll see the word substance there, but in verse 34, for you had compassion on me in my bonds, so I took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, the physical things, knowing in yourselves, yes, concerning the virtue of that work of regeneration, knowing in yourselves, because Paul set the foundation of truth within them, they reflected upon the things that that value give value to the soul, and not the things that just give value to the flesh. That you, and knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance, or a more perfect treasure, an enduring substance which has to do with his virtue, that God is rewarding you powers. The powers of his joy. He's rewarding you the powers of his joy for your endurance. That's substance. See, you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. These are the powers which God has issued for you upon entrance into his kingdom. The first thing he issues for you in entrance to his kingdom is the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a power. He issues that first power. This is your first token. That you have chosen me. Above your own passion. That you have chosen truth, and regardless of your own signature and inclination of life, your own principle, and that you have chosen faith, and replaced your aspiration with faith. I'm giving you a token, for your conversion. And that's the same thing. When people don't get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's because they have not replaced the token of aspiration with faith yet. Okay, so that's why it's important for them to reflect upon those things which you're preaching to them. Okay, and those whose hearts the Lord has prepared will immediately receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, but those which are slow to believe will also be very slow to embrace. Okay, because they have a lot of other aspirations which they want resolved. They want clarity for that resolving, okay, for a resolving of any aspiration or barrier. Okay, and many people upon hearing the word of God are those which are those which are fell by the wayside. Okay, they hear, okay, but they're falling on the soil. And the fowls of the air come and devour them up. Satan offers them the option, they take it. Okay, and they will use you as an excuse. Okay, for saying, well, you prayed for me for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I didn't get it because God didn't want me to have it. See, they will use you for an excuse to resist grace. So that's why it's important. Give them the knowledge of the truth, but let God baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Let God prepare their hearts. Let them seek the Lord. Okay, it may be for a day, a week, a month, or a year, but they have to seek the Lord. Okay, and those which are seeking Him with all their heart, okay, will receive it. That's the first token of conversion. Okay, so that the knowledge which they have received now begins to take form within them. And upon the cycles of your growth, God rewards you with more powers, more virtues. That's what the gifts of the Spirit talk about, okay? Or the fruits of the Spirit. When He talks about the fruits of the Spirit, He's talking about that which the Spirit begets in you. That which the Holy Ghost begets within you begins to take form within you, and that form is Christ. Okay, that's the mark of a true Christian. Okay, we bear in our bodies the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, well, let's go on here. I have a few minutes left, so make sure you prepare your sacrifices. Verse 34 again, for you have compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves through the work of regeneration and the virtue that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance, a reward awaiting for you, okay, that's equal to what you carry. Now, when a sinner enters in a day of judgment, they have nothing to offer the king. They stand right there in the courts of the king and have nothing to offer him but Satan's image. God despises Satan's image because it does not bear the face of Christ. Okay, all it does is bear defiance, indifference, okay, riotousness, and lawlessness. Okay, that's why the Antichrist is also called the lawless one. Okay, the lawless one and the impious one. Everything that they achieve concerning man's psyche, okay, to try to resolve any inner conflict or tragedy, okay, will only bear Satan's image. That's not the work of regeneration. All right, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, okay, the things which you're laboring with in your priesthood. Cast not away therefore confidence. Don't lay aside the garments of your priesthood, because the garments of your priesthood is the armor of God. Okay, these are the things which God has given to protect you, okay, because His shield is your peace. God's shield is your peace. Okay, and that's what Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you, okay, but my peace I give unto you. Because the world only gives reassurances and promises. Okay, they give reassurances and promises, and they try to bring resolve by, you know, through the forms of gold and silver and precious stones. They think that money is the answer to everything. No, it's not. Faith and covenant is the answer. Okay, God has created everything. In this dimension, everything was created by faith. Okay, so everything's created by faith, everything's sustained by that same Spirit. Okay, but when Satan entered into this dimension, he came in here not only as a virus, okay, but he came in here as a contradiction, okay, of God's kingdom, okay, changing the perception of his victims, okay, as Cain. Satan worked on Cain's behalf, changing his perception about his brother Abel, okay, and put Abel in the shadow, okay, of evil, when Cain was in the shadow of evil. Cain was the one standing in the shadow of evil. Abel wasn't. Okay, but Cain standing in Satan's shadow continued to lean towards Satan's counsel. Okay, and he spoke according to his desire. That which is in rhythm with his aspiration, that which is in rhythm with his own perception of life, that which is in his own rhythm of right and wrong. Cain was continually weighing right and wrong, okay, by Satan's counsel. Okay, the same thing. Satan's children do the same thing today. Okay, they still carry that same thinking. Okay, so let's close here. So cast not away therefore your confidence. Don't lay aside your tools. Okay, continue to down on, okay, the garments of your priesthood. And by downing on the garments of your priesthood and utilizing these tools, you're going to have a great reward. Okay, so cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense and reward. There's a great harvest awaiting those that endure unto the end. All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, okay, if you you have to begin to seek God, you're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset, and you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today, and continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.